Life in our modern age comes at you pretty fast, which makes our time away especially valuable. When I take time to relax, I like to get far from my everyday life, immerse myself in natural beauty, and have unique experiences. But you don't have to leave the U.S. to experience tropical rainforests and islands filled with adventure, warm culture, and national treasures. Visit Puerto Rico, an island with a vibrant spirit that will sweep you away. Because when you visit, you don't become part of the island, it becomes part of you. In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. Puerto Rico, where visits end, but stories last forever. No passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
The Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Hey, everybody, it's me, Josh, and for this week's SYSK Selects, I've chosen What Makes Us Yawn. It's actually a really good question about something everyone does, and yet we don't really fully understand. After all of these eons of people yawning, and all these centuries of science studying things like people yawning, we still can't explain what yawning is. So, buckle in and enjoy this episode of Stuff You Should Know. Selects.
Welcome to Stuff You Should Know, a production of iHeartRadio's How Stuff Works.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Josh Clark with Charles W. Chuck Bryant. You getting comfy?
Yeah.
Okay, well, you put the two of us together, and this is Stuff You Should Know, the podcast.
Frank was squeaking.
I thought I was in Frank.
Oh, is that Frank?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I'm in Francine.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, Francine. She's squeaking.
You are in Frank. Who am I in?
Let's build a chair. People have never heard this. They're like, what are they talking about?
Oh, they've already turned off.
We name our chairs, people. Doesn't everyone? You name cars, boats, and chairs.
Yeah, a surprising amount of people name chairs. If you don't, you should be paranoid because people are talking about you.
That's right.
Chuck.
Yes.
Have you ever oscillated?
I have. I've even... Pendiculated.
You pendiculated before?
I pendiculate every morning.
You know what? We sound like people running for the Senate in 1950s Florida. Yeah, there's like Florida has a rich history of like people running for political office using technical terms for things that sound way worse than they are to like smear their opponents.
Really?
Yeah. There's this one guy who went, and I can thank Uncle John and his bathroom reader for this.
Okay.
Who went after his opponent and said that his sister was a thespian in New York. And like all these people were like, boo, boo, we hate thespians.
I hate actors.
Yeah. And apparently like the smear campaign was successful. That wasn't the only one, but this guy used that. Huh. A couple of technical terms. We should probably tell people what we're talking about, right? Because you said you pendiculate every morning.
Easily every morning.
And that is a what?
That is a yawn and a stretch combined together, and is one of my favorite things to do in the morning.
It is. Did you see that painting of the it was a self-portrait, the artist's self-portrait. Seemed like it was from like the 16th or 17th century of him pendiculating. It's just this awesome oil painting of this, you know, Renaissance man stretching and yawning.
Yeah, I love it because it feels good.
Yeah.
And it ties me to my pets, you know, because like I see them do it, they see me do it, and I'm kind of like, hey, we all eat, we all pee and poop, and we all pendiculate. My little cat will stretch and yawn. My dogs will stretch and yawn.
Yeah.
And I will stretch and yawn.
So do you guys make one another stretch and yawn?
You know, I'm going to start looking out for that because I have not noticed that, but apparently yawning can be contagious to animals, right?
Yeah, there's a fun little game you can
play. Or dogs only, right?
Dogs, supposedly, chimps. For sure.
But probably not cats.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Just because it's not in here doesn't mean it's not true.
Eh.
There's a fun little game you can play the next time you're hanging out with people, if you feel like manipulating them on a biological level.
Mm-hmm.
Just yawn and just start paying attention to how many people yawn as a result. And
right.
It should start some sort of chain reaction among maybe 40 to 50% of the people, because that's the statistic of how many human adults yawn.
Yeah.
In reaction to seeing somebody yawn, mm-hmm. seeing video of somebody yawn, mm-hmm. hearing about somebody yawning,
yeah.
reading about yawning. Like, how many times did you yawn while you read this article?
A bunch, and people will probably yawn while listening to this, supposedly.
It's pretty much impossible not to.
Yeah, do you ever... This just really shows how deeply disturbed I am. I will suppress or cover up a yawn if someone else has made me yawn sometimes, just so I don't give them the satisfaction.
Oh, yeah, I've done that before,
sometimes,
too.
Sometimes, yeah. Just like, no, I'm not yawning. Sure. Like, just some stranger on an elevator, they'll yawn,
yeah.
and I'll just be like, nope, not me, buddy.
One of those people who don't realize that, like, they're just your mortal enemy for no real good reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When, in fact, they really don't even know he exists.
Right.
They're like, some guy's on the elevator?
Right.
So, yawning is involuntary.
Yep.
And I've seen a range of weeks that a fetus has been observed yawning, from 11 to 20. Mm-hmm. And that sort of disproves one of the, well, many things disproves one of the theories, which is that we yawn to oxygenate ourselves.
Yeah, because a lot of people think that fetuses breathe amniotic fluid in the womb, and that is absolutely not true.
Right.
They get their oxygen through the umbilical cord.
Yeah, so they're not clearly not yawning to oxygenate themselves.
Right.
And we'll debunk that with other things in a minute.
Sure. But that still, it is a little bit of a mystery, though. Like, yeah, the other ideas for why we yawn don't really hold up in the fetus either. It feels like that's where the key to the mystery of yawning is going to be found.
In the fetus?
In the womb.
All right. Well, should we go there over some theories then,
I guess? Hold on. First, you were saying it's involuntary. I found this one thing, Chuck, that there's a type of paralysis, like a lesion on the brain,
uh-huh.
where you can still, if you yawn, you still pandiculate. So, like, your paralyzed arm, if you yawn deep enough, will rise.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Pretty weird, huh?
Yeah.
There's only been a few cases of it over, like, the last 150 years, but it's been documented in a number of different places.
Huh.
Yeah. I'll bet that is such a surprise.
Yeah, seriously. They're like, can I be tired more often?
Yeah.
So when you yawn, just physiologically speaking, you're going to open your mouth. You're going to suck in air into your lungs. I read one place that your eyes usually close. They did this big study and found that most time your eyes close, but I don't think it's like all the time, you know?
That's sneezing you're thinking of.
No, they did a study on the eyes
really?
of the yawner.
Well, that's part of the yawn too, as far as cues go. Like, it's not just the mouth opening, your eyes squint.
Yeah, and I found like the really good deep yawn, my eyes will generally close.
Gotcha.
So you're going to flex your abs. It's a good workout. You're going to push your diaphragm down. You're going to fill your lungs with air. And then exhale, and that is a yawn.
That's
and if
a
you
yawn.
Stretch, you're pandiculating.
Yeah. Also, parts of your brain become active, right? Basically, what happens when you go through all this process, a bunch of neurotransmitters and dopamine are activated. And that is why a guy named Robert Provine thinks, well, he says that yawns are basically a part of a change from one state of arousal to another.
Yeah, like I was asleep, now I'm awake, or I was alert, now I'm bored.
Right, or I was like just ho-hum, and now I'm like in the mood. Because there, you can yawn
oh, yeah.
when you're sexually aroused.
Oh, that mood.
Yes.
The mood. Sorry.
The Glenn Miller mood.
Yeah.
That's what they had to call it back then. And that's what we have to call it today on this family-friendly podcast.
That's right.
Yeah.
What's going on, too, is physiologically speaking, is we are distributing something called the surfactant, which sounds gross. And it kind of is.
Okay.
It's a wetting agent to coat alveoli in the lungs. But are they saying that's what happens or that's why it happens?
That's what happens.
Okay. They're not saying the reason is to coat the alveoli with surfactant, right?
It could be. I mean, for all we know.
Because they still don't know.
No, we still have no idea what function yawning provides. Same with the yawning as a symbol of arousal or as a sign of arousal. They think that it's really just a byproduct of it.
Right.
You know?
Okay.
But it explains why people who are nervous, or dogs, I'm sure you've seen dogs who are nervous and they yawn in like that really kind of weird, unsettling way. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Wrong?
When they're super worked up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And humans too, you know, like people will yawn when they're nervous. It's a sign that you're in a state of arousal.
Yeah.
And what that state of arousal is depends on the situation.
Yeah, they point to Olympians who yawn before like a race.
Yeah.
And which poo-poos one theory that we're going to get to the theory. Should we just get to the theories?
Let's get to the theories.
It poo-poos that theory, though, that you have to be bored or you have to be sleepy or tired.
Yeah. Like there's the boredom theory, and it's kind of been pretty fully shot down just by, you know,
what we just
casual
said.
Observation.
Yeah.
There's also the physiological theory.
Yeah.
Which is that this is the one that I'd always heard when I was younger. Like, why you yawn is because you need to you're oxygen deprived, or you have an abundance of carbon dioxide, so you're drawing in a bunch of oxygen and like putting out a bunch of carbon dioxide.
Right.
That's why you yawn.
And Provine that you mentioned?
Yeah.
He tested this one, right?
Yeah, pretty simply. He just said, okay, well, let's just give some athletes a bunch of oxygen and see if they yawn any less. And they didn't.
Right.
He also increased the carbon dioxide in the ambient air, and people still kept yawning.
Okay, so that one's gone.
But they didn't yawn anymore. Yeah.
So we can put that to bed.
Yeah. Plus, also, there was a terrible proof associated with that hypothesis.
Oh, yeah?
That explains why people yawn in groups. Because when you have a big group, there's more carbon dioxide and less oxygen.
Yeah, that's like you're all fighting over the oxygen.
Right.
So you're yawning.
Through yawning, yeah. Whoever can yawn the deepest lives.
Yeah, that doesn't sound right. Evolution could play a part. Some people think that maybe we used to yawn. Tuk-Tuk would yawn to bare his teeth, to intimidate folks around him, or that it developed as a signal. Tuk-Tuk would give a signal to his mates that, hey, we're hunting now, and we need to go now gather wood, so I will yawn to tell you that.
Yeah, like pre-speech, right?
Yeah.
Like a bird turning of the whole flock.
Yeah, that makes a little bit of sense, but I still don't believe that one. I'm with the brain cooling theory.
That's like the most recent one.
Yeah, and
that seems to be the one that people are subscribing to.
Yeah, scientists generally are leaning toward the fact that when our brains are warmer, yawning might cool it down, and a cool brain is a more whatever, a better brain, I guess.
I should say I just
yawned. Does better for thinking.
I just yawned.
Did you?
I did.
Okay. I didn't see it.
Well, I covered my mouth.
Oh, okay.
You may have thought I was burping.
I think I did.
So the brain cooling theory, that's the one that most people think is lately. That's
the
explanation
theory.
Du jour. Yeah. And there's another piece of research that people are going into that is the idea that contagious yawning is the result of empathy, right? That you empathize. The more you empathize with other people, the more susceptible you are to contagious yawning. And we said earlier that, like, I think 41% to 55% of human adults, are susceptible to contagious yawning.
Yeah,
right.
Which the MythBusters confirm, by the way.
Okay, so there is some sort of link between what we perceive as empathy and the susceptibility to yawning when you see somebody else yawn or reading about yawning or whatever.
I wonder if it's like, oh boy, that guy's tired, and just let me make him feel better.
Well, Provine, again, he's like really into yawning research.
Yeah.
He has done MRI scans where he shows, I guess, pictures of people yawning or mm-hmm. talks about yawning, and you know, they yawn. And when they do, he says that mirror neurons go off.
Oh yeah, our old friends.
Right. So our mirror neurons are activated when you see somebody else yawn. And apparently that triggers a yawn. But people take it a step further in this quest to prove that empathy and contagious yawning are, you know, work hand in hand.
Right.
And saying, well, then people with autism, that they shouldn't be able to be susceptible to contagious yawning.
Right, because they're known to have less empathy.
Right. They have trouble connecting with others, or they have trouble developing what's called a theory of mind about other people.
Right.
And there have been a lot of studies about whether or not people who have autism are susceptible to contagious yawning.
Yeah, and it's been proven, not proven, but at least the data says that the more the stronger your autism, the less you will yawn, even though. They will yawn when someone's pretending to yawn. Was that what it was?
I didn't see that part.
Yeah, I think it said that when they were watching video of people just moving their mouths, then non-autistic kids yawn more than kids with autism when it was really yawning. Does that make sense?
Yes. Well, hold on. Before we get to that.
Yeah.
Because this is like a whole thing to me.
Sure.
The idea that if you have autism, you're not susceptible to contagious yawning.
Yeah.
Let's first have a message break from our sponsor. Stuff you should know. All right, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. Because in Monopoly Go, you can team up with your friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. It's very nice.
That's right. And the more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock. And there's so much to get. I'm talking about unique stickers that you can trade with friends to complete albums for big prizes, cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with, or hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults.
Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges, like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
That's right. There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it now for free on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, Josh, so I believe we were talking about autism and yawning, which is, I just learned, a thing for you.
Well, yeah, you said that there was, they have found that if you have been diagnosed with autism, you're less likely to be susceptible to contagious yawning.
Right.
And they found that the higher on the autism spectrum you fall,
the less likely you would even be, right?
Yeah, which would suggest that there is that link because they've tied, there's a link between empathy and autism, and empathy and contagious yawning. So this the autism and studying kids with autism is kind of like the fulcrum.
Sure.
So yeah, it just seems to me to be kind of I don't know. I don't buy all of the studies that have been carried out, and other studies kind of contradict it.
Yeah.
Like they other studies have shown that like kids with autism focus on people's mouths rather than their eyes. Okay. So maybe they're missing the cue. Remember we said that your eyes scrunch. So, like, a yawn is not just people opening their mouths.
Right.
It has all these other facial characteristics that might trigger a yawn in another person. So, maybe kids with autism are simply missing that.
So, you're saying maybe the data could be skewed by other factors.
It could be. Plus, I just remember when I wrote this article, like, years back, I was kind of like,
Something stunk?
Yeah. There's just, it seems just slightly off. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
You got a good gut, though.
Well, thanks, man. Sure. I've been working on it.
So bad. Well, we should also mention, too, that this goes back a long way. Like, I believe, was it Hippocrates?
Yeah.
Was the first person to start sort of postulating ideas, and he was like, he thought it was fever-related, like sickness. It could help cure you. So I got a fever, and the only prescription is more yawning.
Yeah. That's why he was the father of medicine.
That's right.
Because he was the first guy to just start saying stuff.
But, you know, that was pretty quickly disproven.
Right. But the idea that yawning has something to do with increasing our alertness and awareness,
yeah,
which is kind of one of the current views of yawning, that dates back to the 17th and 18th centuries.
Yeah. Well, it increases your heart rate during inhalation only.
Okay.
Not during I think it it increases and then levels off and then just drops back down to normal pretty quickly.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
But up to like 30 beats per minute increase, right?
Yeah. I read a real heady article on this study that really just made my eyes cross, but that was the long and short of it.
Right.
But that's one that dealt with the eyes. Like, they really measured all kinds of stuff.
And we said that fetuses from 11 to 20 weeks of development yawn in utero. And did you see any of, like, the 4D ultrasounds of
No.
fetuses yawning?
Is it adorable?
It's pretty cute. But it's also weird at the same time because they're not fully developed. So it's like, aw, you.
It's like a little baby platypus.
Kind of. But you have to be around age 4 before you you're susceptible to contagious yawning.
Yeah.
Is there any way to put it besides susceptible to contagious yawning?
I don't think so. Okay. Why do you feel like you've said that like 80 times?
A lot. And I've had trouble with it every time, too.
There's another couple of researchers who a couple of years ago, Andrew Gallup and Omar Tansi Eldakar, they found that outside temperature could affect the amount of yawning. So if it's warmer than usual, then you're going to yawn less frequently because their explanation is the outside air is useless to the organism because it doesn't need to suck in more oxygen. I don't get how the temperature would affect that, though.
Well, if it's warmer temperature and you're using the cooler air to cool your brain.
Gotcha. Okay.
If it's warmer than the temperature of your brain, then it shouldn't work.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Huh. All right. Well, they had other tests, though, that showed that the amount of yawning increased both when outside temperature and the temperature of the brain increased.
Yeah,
so it's all over the place.
No one knows anything about yawning except Robert Provine.
The foremost leading authority.
Well, he's proven that, like, seeing or hearing about somebody yawning, it triggers your mirror neuron, so.
Yeah, I think somebody should do a documentary on these people that become obsessed with
yawns?
No, just like a certain small thing. See, you're yawning right now.
And that was unsatisfying because you made me laugh in the middle of it.
I think like Fast, Cheap, and Out of Control, I've talked about it before, Errol Morris's documentary sort of did that. But that was about like studying naked mole rats or lion taming or what's it called when you clip the hedges?
Pendicular.
Topiary. Gardening.
Yeah.
But they should do things that are even more like mundane, like this dude that has dedicated his life to yawning. I just think that'd be interesting. Like, what drives Provine to figure this out when it really doesn't matter? You know what I'm saying?
Well, I don't know because it's not just yawning. He frequently is cited as a yawning expert. He's an evolutionary biologist.
Oh, okay.
So, like, but yawning, since it's involuntary and since you find it in all vertebrates, it kind of gives some peek into our evolutionary past. Plus, he probably just loves a good mystery.
Sure.
He had a great quote, too. We were talking about how arousal, yawning is a byproduct of a state of arousal.
Mm-hmm.
He was saying that he believes that yawns and orgasms share a neurobehavioral heritage.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, like, they're possibly rooted in the same behavior. Like, remember you said it yourself, when you pandiculate,
yeah, something
feels
happens.
Good.
Uh-huh.
Same, you know, with the orgasm.
Yeah.
So
I've heard those feel great.
Right. So possibly if you trace the lineage of this behavior back far enough, you'd see like, oh, they both came from when humans used to stub their toe. They thought it was awesome. And then the two things diverged into these two things.
Interesting.
Into yawning and what happens when you're in the mood.
The Glenn Miller mood.
Right.
You got anything else?
No, man. That is yawning forever until somebody figures it out.
It's a mystery.
Yeah, and I kind of like it like that, but at the same time, I think it's so amorphous that there's no one has a clue. Like, sometimes we've talked about stuff that science couldn't fully explain, but we almost always, like, pick a theory, like, this is the one.
Yeah.
It just hasn't been proven yet, right? This one, I don't feel like we did that. Like, we both liked the brain cooling one, but it was kind of discarded.
Yeah. And I'm definitely going to keep an eye on my pets. But then I don't know if, like, can you induce that just by noticing more, you know what I'm saying? Or maybe what I'll do is I'll watch Emily around the pets. So
there you go.
No one's in on it.
Just be careful you don't accidentally change their behavior just by observing it.
That's
Heisenberg's.
Right. Well, Buckley farts every time he stretches too. And yawns.
See, that's what I'm saying.
So we'll see if Emily farts while she pandiculates.
Right.
That'll be the test.
Nice. Okay. I think if you guys want to learn more about yawning, you can type that word into the search bar at howstuffworks.com. And since I said search bar, it means it's time for listener mail.
Not quite yet, my friend. We have a quick word from our sponsor again, and then we will. We have a great listener mail, though, about Rodriguez. So.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah, all right, so this is a time for message break. All right, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. Because in Monopoly Go, you can team up with your friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. It's very nice.
That's right. And the more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock. And there's so much to get. I'm talking about unique stickers that you can trade with friends to complete albums for big prizes, cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with, or hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults.
Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges, like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
That's right. There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it now for free on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, and now it's time for listener mail, huh?
Yes, and I already gave it away because I wanted people to stick around for this, and it is called I Hung Out with Rodriguez.
Wow.
So we mentioned Rodriguez, the singer-songwriter from the 60s, who, unbeknownst to him, was a huge, huge hit in South America and...
No, South Africa.
What did I say, South America?
Mm-hmm.
Such an idiot.
No, you're not.
South Africa. And
they're
then,
both like down there. One's on the left, one's on the right.
And then later in Australia. And so we covered that in our apartheid podcast. And you can see the documentary Searching for Sugar Man. It's super interesting.
Which one? Best documentary this year, right?
Yeah, heck yeah.
Have you seen How to Survive a Plague? That was up for Best Picture, too.
No. Best documentary?
Yes.
Was it good?
Yeah, it was really good. It's about the early gay, like, AIDS awareness movement.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, it's just what they were up against is mind-boggling.
Yeah.
You know, like, the idea society was just kind of like, no, God's punishing you.
Right.
Good luck with it, pal.
Jeez.
Yeah, it was really something.
Go ahead.
Our friend Stuart of Superhuman Happiness, who they're fans of the show.
Oh, yeah.
He scored the soundtrack.
Oh, nice.
And he did a really good job with it, too.
I'll have to check that out.
Yeah.
I saw another trailer the other day for a documentary about this family of Jews who hid in underground for a year and a half during World War II.
What?
And they never told their story because they didn't think anyone would believe it. And this caving guy found these human objects and traced them back to this family. And they came out, like, the surviving ones, like, told their story of it. Amazing.
Wow. What's it called?
It's called No Place on Earth.
Cool.
And it's coming out soon. It looks awesome.
All right. Well, there you go, everybody.
We like to recommend documentaries around here. Okay, Rodriguez. Guys, it's so fun to hear you talk about Rodriguez because I've known him a little bit here and there. And I'm glad he's getting recognition. And here is a story about the first day I met him. September 2007, I moved into a 101-year-old apartment building in the Cass Corridor neighborhood of Detroit. It was a bar across the street called The Bronx. And after getting moved in, my boyfriend and I went over there had a night of celebrating and talking with some old and new friends. Our friend Dale pointed out this dude wearing all black with sunglasses on, said, "You know, Rodriguez, that guy over there, is bigger than Elvis in South Africa and Australia." I didn't understand the gravity of his statement at the time, but being friendly people, we talked late into the night with Dale and Rodriguez. The bar closed, we decided to walk back across the street to our new apartment, and Rodriguez followed us out with his guitar in tow. It was very quiet out, about 3 in the morning. The apartment building was U-shaped with a big courtyard in the middle and low lighting. It was really beautiful. There was a single picnic table, and we sat there on it talking more and more. Rodriguez pulled out a pint of brandy, offered us some, and then asked if we wanted to hear his new song, saying he'd just written it the other day. We said sure, because he seemed so incredibly excited about it. He played the song for us and played it again, which I thought was interesting. He just played it twice. He's like, "Did you like that? You want to hear it again?
Wait before you answer. Let me play it a second time."
And then we talked some more about music and love, and he played it once again.
No way.
I guess he played it 3 times. I saw him many, many times over the next few years and met his middle daughter as well.
He played the same song every time.
But I'll never forget sitting under the stars all alone with him in a majestic old Detroit courtyard, giving my boyfriend and me a private concert of a single song.
That's cool.
Played thrice and passing the cheap brandy. He really is as kind and happy of a soul as the movie says.
That's cool.
When you watch Searching for Sugar Man, you can see a couple of people talking at the Bronx bar and even see my old apartment in the background. I hope I see you guys soon. Love, Julia.
Well, thanks, Julia. Hat tip to you for being aware of the word thrice.
Yeah.
And for, I guess, waiting out the storm in Detroit.
Yeah, and for listening to that song 3 times, like, very patient and understanding.
Right, with that smile plastered on your face the last time, like...
Yeah, very cool memory, I imagine.
Yeah. Let's see, if you have a story about any sort of famous singer-songwriter, filmmaker, anybody. Remember the guy who hung out with Henry Hill and became, like, really disenchanted as a result?
Yeah.
Yeah. If you have a good story like that, we're always in the mood for a good yarn, especially if it's true. You can tweet to us if it's a really, really short story. To SYSK Podcast. That's our handle, the whole thing. You can join us on facebook.com/stuffyoushouldknow, all one word. That's our Facebook page. You can send us an email to stuffpodcast@howstuffworks.com. And as always, join us at our home on the web, stuffyoushouldknow.com.
Stuff You Should Know is a production of iHeartRadio's How Stuff Works. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Hey, if you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon as low as $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. Use promo code STUFF20 to receive $20 off your first month for listening to this podcast. Switch now at Visible.com. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. The Visible monthly rate is $25 per month.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.